You are listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. Welcome. Today, Dr. Blevins discusses the Cushing's drug, pasireotide. He's Dr. Blevins.
Good morning. This is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting to you today from the coast of Northern California. Today, I would like to talk with you about pasireotide for Cushing's disease. Pasireotide was first approved by the Food and Drug Administration in the United States for the use in patients with Cushing's disease who are not candidates for surgery or unresponsive to surgery in the year 2012. This drug is marketed by Novartis Pharmaceuticals under the trade name of Signifor. Pasireotide is a somatostatin analog, and that means it acts like the ubiquitous inhibitory hormone somatostatin. Somatostatin has several different receptors on the cell surfaces of the types of cells that respond to this hormone. And in particular, it's the type 5 receptor that's expressed in corticotroph cells. Corticotroph cells are those cells in the anterior pituitary that produce and secrete ACTH. In patients who have Cushing's disease, they harbor an ACTH-producing pituitary adenoma that drives the adrenal glands to produce too much cortisol and cause the Cushingoid symptoms and signs. This drug can inhibit ACTH release from pituitary adenomas, thus lowering cortisol secretion and improving the symptoms and signs of Cushing syndrome. In fact, studies have showed that you can lower cortisol levels to normal in 28 to 29% of patients during treatment. Usually the responses are evident after a couple months of therapy and they're sustained over time. Other studies have showed that about 76% of patients will have a diminution in cortisol secretion, and cortisol levels can be dropped by 50% in more than half of patients. What we see in response to that is lowering of blood pressure, improvement in lipid profiles, regression in weight, and improvement in Cushingoid features. So even if patients don't have full normalization of urine cortisol, they can experience improvement. And furthermore, the addition of other drugs such as cabergoline and ketoconazole to either inhibit ACTH secretion or block adrenal steroid production respectively can result in normalization of cortisol secretion in a significant number of patients who had a partial but not complete response to Signifor therapy. Signifor is a drug that's administered usually twice daily, 600 to 900 or maybe even up to 1200 micrograms twice daily. It's a subcutaneous injection. I've had some experience with this drug and have found it to work in about half of my patients. So it's certainly worth trying in those patients who are either not candidates for surgery or were not rendered disease-free from surgery while you're either waiting for radiotherapy to take place or to have its effect, or while you're waiting for additional surgery to be performed. Now, all drugs have side effects, and this drug is not without its list of side or adverse effects, but those are generally manageable. All of the somatostatin analogs as a class of drugs can cause maldigestion and malabsorption, and this can lead to fat in the stools, flatulence, diarrhea, abdominal pain or cramps, for example. Some patients can have inhibition of gallbladder contractility and develop sludge in their gallbladder. It's called biliary sludge, and some develop even frank gallstones. These drugs can also cause a slowing of the heart rate or lowering of TSH levels in some patients. The complication that I think that most patients and physicians are concerned about is that of hyperglycemia, so that a significant proportion of patients will have hyperglycemia, with some developing frank diabetes mellitus. That is, however, easy to treat. There are a number of different drugs and targeted drugs that can result in improved glycemic control, and if those drugs fail, then patients can be treated with insulin. So I don't let the possibility of diabetes dissuade me from the use of this drug. In fact, in my patients, I've seen a couple of cases of hypoglycemia where it's presumed that glucagon levels were inhibited by the drug, leading to a higher risk of mild hypoglycemia. And that hypoglycemia was not at a magnitude that concerned me in those patients, but was something that was picked up by the fact that we were monitoring blood glucoses for presence of hyperglycemia in those particular patients. Well, in summary then, this drug is a somatostatin analog that's available to treat patients with hypercortisolism due to ACTH-producing pituitary adenomas. It can work in nearly one-third of patients to normalize cortisol levels, and in a significant proportion of others can bring those cortisol levels down lower and improve symptoms and signs. And then in conjunction with other drugs, it's possible to normalize cortisol secretion in most patients in this day and age who have residual disease after surgery. And again, the side effect profile is typical of those for patients who usually have somatostatin analog therapy and should not really truly dissuade physicians and patients from giving this drug a try if it seems to be clinically indicated, while either waiting for repeat surgery, the efficacy of radiotherapy, or during a period of time where you're trying to make decisions to arrive at a final conclusion as how best to proceed with the patient. Well, I hope this has been informational, and look for more podcasts on Cushing's and other disease states, and additional podcasts on somatostatin analogs as well for use in other pituitary disorders. Thank you for listening. This has been Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News. Have a wonderful day.